Hello, everyone. Paula V here. Welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? I am so excited today to share with you an amazing couple. Today we have Reverend Dr. Linda and Dr. Nicholas. They are going to share discussion about ego and spirit. This is going to be a fantastic show. I'm so excited. First off, Linda and Nick, I'd like to welcome you.
Thank you, Paula. We are so excited to be here with you today.
Thank you very much, Paula, for the opportunity we have to be with you and to share with your audience.
Oh, thank you. I am so honored. A little bit about Linda and Nick. Reverend Dr. Linda is a metaphysician, certified Reiki master teacher, spiritual healer, color sound practitioner, and spiritual medium. She is the founder of Dove of Light Healing Ministry and offers workshops as well as individual healing and counseling sessions. Dr. Nicholas is a licensed psychologist, social worker, and certified school psychologist who has worked in clinical, university, public school, and private practice settings as a therapist, diagnostician, educator, and consultant for 30 years. I'm just so excited. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, let's begin. Linda, will you share with us how did the work you are doing involving ego and spirit and the consciousness you refer to as ego spiritualism, how did that come about? What brought you on that path?
Oh, I'd love to share this with you.
Awesome.
Nick and I have been married for 38 years, and I have to say we're not the same people today as we were when we got married 38 years ago. We've gone through a lot of growth and changes individually as well as together. We've raised three daughters. We've, you know, had a typical life for the most part. And at some point in our marriage, Nick began the writings of the book Ego Therapy. And Ego Therapy is a method for healing your whole self. And during this time, which was quite a few years, as he was writing this book, I also began to my own adventure or expansion, and I went away to a mystery school and became a doctor in metaphysics as well as an ordained minister and began my healing practice, Dove of Light. And as we came to work, you know, he was working with ego and writing the book, and I was beginning to see clients in my healing practice and learning more about this egoic energy that Nick was writing about, we came to see that it was necessary to begin blending the work that we're doing. And because I was more working with people on their spiritual path and he's working more with the human side of things, we came to see the necessity and realize that this actually is the next step in our evolutionary path as human beings, to merge these energies of ego and spirit together to create the healing that is necessary, you know, as for human beings here on this earth. And this led to us writing the book Ego Spiritualism. And the word Ego Spiritualism was channeled as we were writing this book, which we believe is the consciousness of ego and spirit coming together. And so in our book Ego Spiritualism, Awakening to Your Human and Divine Self, we speak about the paths of consciousness and how this, you know, how we can apply this information into our lives. And as we were writing the book Ego Spiritualism, we began to see the energies of ego and spirit and how they are at work within our lives and how they actually have voices within us and how people can hear the voice of ego, maybe not aware that that's what it is, the voice of their ego. But the voice of ego speaks to us. The voice of spirit speaks to us as well, but many times people cannot hear the voice of spirit if the voice of ego is speaking so loudly.
Yes.
So this led us to write the third book, The Two Voices Within, Balancing the Energies of Ego and Spirit to Enhance Your Life. And as we wrote these books, we came to see the need for this message and the need for the healing that needs to occur for you know, the consciousness of our humanity to heal and come into the awareness to awaken egoically as well as spiritually.
All of my contribution to our work began roughly 30 years ago. Back in 1986, I completed the licensing exam of Pennsylvania to be a psychologist, and that came after probably 5 years of rigorous study on a daily basis, probably 5 hours a day. After that point in time, I really was feeling very saturated and didn't really want to read another book for a while. And what ended up happening was, at the time, I was working in a clinical setting, still meeting with children, adolescents, and adults, and doing therapy and site diagnostic evaluations. And over that period of time, for roughly 6 years, I was undergoing another education that I really didn't realize was taking place until it eventually culminated in my awareness that what a lot of these people were telling me about through their lives, through their relationships, through all of their experiences, is about ego and about the centrality of this powerful entity in our lives and how it affects us. But what needed to be done was a better, more broader, diverse, penetrating understanding. And that began the process of my working to write my book, Ego Therapy, so that we could have a better foundation. And as Linda mentioned earlier, we began to communicate with each other about our experiences and our work. And as a psychologist, I began to also realize that it wasn't enough to just try to heal ourselves on the egoic or human side of things, but it was also extremely important to allow for or open the door to spiritual healing, that doing the whole work of helping people with wellness required the ability to merge these energies of ego and spirit, which is unlike what we think historically has been put out about ego and spirit, the more traditional message seemingly being the importance of our spirituality as the means by which we can be delivered from the ills of our humanity. And what I was saying is that wasn't helping a lot of people, that approach, that there really needed to be an approach that talked about the synergy of the energies of ego and spirit rather than some polarity, a polarity in which ego was often treated as something that needed to be dissolved, disowned, or defeated. We didn't think that was possible, and as a result, the work that we're doing, ego and spirit, really reflects a paradigm shift. The word "and" in that phrase is extremely important because it's not an ego or spirit proposition. We think it's an ego and spirit proposition. And so through our three books, we are trying to help people better understand that, that they can incorporate in their life experiences and move themselves toward the wellness, both humanly and spiritually, that they are meant to live.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So what would you say, Nick, are some of the misconceptions that we may have about ego?
Yes, there are various ones. I think the first one, and I think Linda inherently was speaking about it, is that it's only an entity that can be negative or dark in our lives. It can really bring us into suffering. And certainly it does. When it's imbalanced, as we refer to it, involving what we talk about in our books, involving its power or its flexibility or vulnerability, it can create suffering in various areas of life we talk about. So it can do that. But when we heal it, when it's healthy and it's in balance, it really is a positive entity.
Yes.
It promotes our survival. I mean, that essentially the ego is about our survival. It's attempting to help us survive in a daily and mortal sense. It's a kind of analogous to the way that our brain is working to help us survive and our heart is working to help us survive. And so is this ego energy. The problem is that it can become negative. So the first misconception is that ego can only be a negative or dark entity, and we're saying, no, it can be something positive, it can be healthy, it can be our friend. Some other misconceptions include the notion that our ego has sort of an intentional or intellectual quality, that it's out to harm us in some ways, in our lives. That, and what we're saying in our work is that ego doesn't have an awareness of itself. It is an energy. We can develop an awareness of it, but it doesn't have an awareness of itself. Ego doesn't have an awareness of you. It doesn't have an awareness of me. And it doesn't have an awareness of God. Unlike what I think other writings have suggested, that ego is out to edge God out, we're not seeing that. Ego doesn't know who God is. Ego doesn't have an intellect. It doesn't have an intentionality. It is trying to help us survive, but it bring us into suffering. But none of this had anything to do with trying to damage our lives on purpose. So we think that that's some of the key stuff that that we're putting forth. We're also talking about how our ego energy can be in the present. It doesn't have to be consumed with the past or chained to the past or keep us chained to the past, or it doesn't have to help us or cause us to only be preoccupied with the future. That when it's in a really healthy and balanced place, we can be in the present. We can experience that. So we don't think that the misconception about being disowned, dissolved, or defeated really applies. We don't think that's been helpful. Over the years, we've learned that it's more a matter of healing it, and the healing begins with our beginning to have an awareness of it, not in some broad, diffuse, abstract way, but in a very tight, specific, comprehensive way, which is what our book Ego Therapy is really getting after, is getting persons an option to look at where they can actually work with themselves to get better, understand, and use what we call the first step in the use of the ego medicine, which is understanding what ego is and what it's not.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
Something that, as a Reiki teacher myself, something that's discussed a lot in Reiki classes is ego. And what I share with my students is, yes, we don't want ego to be involved or be out of balance, but really to have our ego is a good thing. I just love that's, what you share with others, because really that is, being proud of ourselves and feeling good, but yet out of balance can be negative, correct? I would love to, we have to break for a commercial, but I would love to, when we come back, have you share some of the life areas where imbalanced ego energy is reflected. I think that would be very interesting. Just love this. Well, Nick and Linda, we will be right back. Everyone, we're going to pop out. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Paula V here. Welcome back. Joining me today is Dr. Linda Martin and Dr. Nick Martin. They are sharing some fantastic information about ego and spirit. We left off in that first segment, and Nick was sharing some information about ego. I would love to have you share with us, Nick, some areas where an imbalanced ego energy is reflected in our lives.
Sure. In our work, we talk about the 10 key life areas that people have taught me over the years have a major impact upon the quality of life and nature of the happiness they can or cannot experience. And these are like mirrors. They are opportunity if you are in search of your ego energy, which is the second part of ego medicine. From the human side of it, these are the places we believe you can look to see just where things are going as far as whether your ego energy is balanced or whether it's imbalanced. Some of these areas that we talk about are your ability to interact with people in a work or play or socially related context, your ability to form close relationships, meaning those that involve your children or your parents, your spouse or partner, and other people that are maybe the closest people to you encounter in your life, and your ability to love yourself. How well can you do that or not? We often find that when our ego energy is healthy, that allows for us to get into this really wonderful place of embracing ourselves and treating ourselves with unconditional love and working with that. But when people start to become egoically imbalanced, their issues begin to cause them to be more conditional in the way they relate to themselves, and it affects how well they can like and love themselves. Other areas, how we are dealing with the process of achievement and using the talents, our own individual human talents, whatever they are, in our work toward achievement and ultimately knowing our life's purpose. And when our ego energy is healthy and in balance, we tend to work with these tools in ways that are constructive and productive. But when the imbalance begins to occur, we begin to see issues that may cause people to be functioning in a more destructive way with their talents. Sometimes people, for example, who are high ego power people, they tend to be extremely competitive, and they tend to approach other people in the arena of competition or achievement in a negative kind of way, and as if they are competition that has to be vanquished or eliminated, you know, rather than just sort of understanding that maybe they're kindred spirits who are trying to make use of their talent as much as we have the, you know, the right to achieve with our own talents. So this is another mirror. Your ability to grow your mind, which is a really important one, your ability to really improve, we call it the ego space, the quality of the ego space, which is really just how connected we start to become to truth, both human truth and divine truth, is another important key life area. A lot of times we find when people are egoically imbalanced, they begin to gain distance from those kinds of truths. Both ego, humanly and spiritually, they begin to become caught up in beliefs and faulty beliefs. In our book, The Two Voices Within, we talk about different roles that some people begin to live. An example of people who are experiencing low ego flexibility could be somebody who's a racist, a political extremist, a religious extremist. These are individuals who are heavily into thoughts that are more so beliefs than actually truths. And I think we see a lot of that going on out in the outside world, the news, in fact. These are not people connected to the truth. The truth doesn't involve darkness or negativity or anger or destructiveness. Truth is powerful, and it's positive, and it's loving. And so when people gain distance in the egoic energy in those kind of ways, it affects the way they can grow their mind and get connected to the truth. Other areas include how well we can deal with change, how well we can deal with adversity, the failures, the losses, the mistakes that we all make as a result of our imperfection. Our ability to experience genuine happiness rather than pseudo-happiness or depression or anger or anxiety or fear as a common emotional experience. Our ability to deal with stress and the stressors that life will bring to us in ways that can be productive rather than non-productive. And finally, how well we work with conflict. Conflict is inevitable. We all have our own individual ways of working with the same things. And how do we use it to grow from each other, to enhance each other, rather than the often destructive conflict that plays out where people gain distance either physically and emotionally from each other. So all of these, in their totality, can affect the quality of our life.
Yes.
They are the mirrors. We give you lots of examples in our books to show people when your ego energy is healthy, this is how you're dealing with adversity, conflict, and so on. When it's not healthy or when it's imbalanced, depending on whether it's a power or flexibility or vulnerability issue, this is what you look like. And so that gives people a chance to kind of try it on over time on their own. See, does this mirror what I've been experiencing in my own life experience on the human side?
Yeah. Oh, so this is such a powerful message, Nick and Linda. This is really a powerful message. I just love this. Linda, let me ask you, how does imbalanced ego energy undermine spiritual consciousness, spiritual development, and the awakening of our heart?
That's a good question, because when we're living through an imbalanced ego, it can create illusions within us. Nick had referred to, you know, beliefs that people may live in that really aren't truth.
Yes.
And so the illusions that people will live through as they live through an unhealthy ego will bring for them feelings of unworthiness, you know, feelings that they're not good enough or they're not enough, feelings of separation, which is one of the biggest things. If we feel that we are separated, we feel isolated, we feel fear, you know, we feel anger. There's a lot involved with that. And this separation has to do with our belief that we're separated from others in our lives, but more importantly, that we're separated from God. Because people then tend to, from an egoic view, they're living through their ego unconsciously when they're living through an unhealthy ego. And when you're living through your ego unconsciously, you're unaware of how it's affecting you. You're unaware of how it's directing you. And you believe, possibly, that God is an entity outside of yourself, instead of understanding that you are the love, life, and energy of God, that God is within you and we are within God. God is the energy of love and creation. And so an imbalanced ego can, you know, it kind of puts up a veil for us that we're living through, and it doesn't allow us to hear that voice of spirit within us that is speaking to us. It doesn't allow us to truly connect and awaken spiritually in the way that we need to live the life that we were created to live. You know, an imbalanced ego it just puts up a wall before us.
Yeah.
And it's truly important to understand this energy of ego, to understand that your energy of ego energy is not a one-size-fits-all. It's a unique energy, and it's a diverse energy. The egoic energy helps to create our own personalities, our characteristics, and the beliefs and the illusions that we are living through. And until we come to learn about this energy, it's going to affect us in that way. There's something we refer to in our books as the big picture and the little picture. And if we're living through an imbalanced ego energy, which is an unhealthy egoic energy, we tend to live in the little picture of things. And when we're living in the little picture, this is when the dramas and the illusions of life take hold of us. This is when we get caught up, you know, in maybe dramas of people in our lives, and we start to see this as being what life is about. But when we can heal this egoic energy, when we can bring it into balance and allow the emergence of our ego and spirit to come together, then we can see the bigger picture. We can understand that it's more than that, that the dramas of life really, they're just things that are occurring. They're not the reality. And we see through the illusions then when we can bring ourselves into a place of balance.
Oh, I love that, Linda. I love that. Something I've noticed over the years, when I pick up that someone has an imbalanced ego, is they're never satisfied. They're just never satisfied. It was, I want more, I need to be more, or, you know, it affects our happiness.
I think what you're saying right there has to do with people seeking outside of themselves. You know, when we're seeking outside of ourselves for happiness, for fulfillment, for contentment, if we're seeking for another person to make us happy or to make us complete, we'll never find that, because that comes from within ourselves. You know, it's within ourselves that we must look, that we must see what needs to be seen, so that, you know, we can live the life we were meant to live. As Nick mentioned earlier, you know, there are mirrors in our lives, and so many things offers us a reflection of self throughout our lives. And these are opportunities to come to know ourselves, to see ourselves in a greater way, so that we can heal what needs to be healed. And when we do this, it allows this balance and this harmony, you know, to be present in our lives. And it allows us to begin to know peace within ourselves. We can't know peace in the world until we all know peace within ourselves.
Yes. Oh, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. And with bringing in that balance and finding that peace. We find self-love, we find manifestation. Oh my goodness. I just love that. I just love that. So, with your teaching, we just have a few minutes until the next break. So let's right now, if the two of you would share, if one of you would share to the listeners out there, your website information, how they can contact you and how they can order one of your books or all of your books.
Would be happy to. Our website is egoandspirit.info. That's egoandspirit.info. Our books are available through the website. They're also available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and BalboaPress.com. And the website for Dove of Light Healing Ministry is lindammartin.net, lindammartin.net. And the books are available through my website as well.
Excellent, excellent.
We also have ebooks available. A lot of people like to download the ebooks, and so they're available as well.
Excellent. And do you do classes, sessions? What all do you do for clients along that line?
I do work with clients through Dove of Light Healing Ministry. I work with clients individually as well as in groups and workshops. Nick and I also do workshops. We're teaching. Sometimes we may focus a workshop into a particular area, such as like relationships. A couple weeks ago, we just did a workshop on relationships. There's a variety, actually, of things that we do and that I do as well. I also work with clients distance-wise as well. As you know, as a Reiki master, you can offer, distance healing. I also do phone sessions or Skype. So there are many things available, and everything people can find on our website, on both of the websites.
I love that. I love that. And I love a relationship workshop. I bet that was absolutely fantastic.
It was. We ran out of time. It was one of those things where we could have gone on all day. Time we do it, we're going to make it a little bit, give ourselves a little more time to do it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, we're going to pop into another break, but I do want to take a moment to thank both of you for all that you do for others. You're changing lives and you're really making a difference in the world. That is just so fantastic. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, everyone, we're going to pop out briefly and I will be right back with Linda and Nick Martin. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Having some great conversation today. Oh my gosh, we're talking about ego and spirit. This has just been so fantastic. Dr. Linda and Dr. Nick Martin are sharing some great information. I would like to begin this segment with asking Nick. Nick, please share with the listeners how they can personally transform and heal an imbalanced ego. How can a person do that? What can we do to work on that?
The centerpiece from the human side of things that we talk about is something I mentioned, I think, earlier, ego medicine. And the concept of ego medicine really involves three contributors. Earlier, you had asked me about the misunderstandings of ego. First and foremost, we have to understand what ego is and what it's not. And in our work, in our books, we elaborate on that so people can begin to have a foundation. One of the problems, I think, for many people is that ego, they have their own definition of what ego is. Unfortunately, there's a lack of consensus and understanding of what that is. And you can even do the same thing with professional practitioners like psychologists and mental health practitioners. If you ask them what ego is or what it's not, you get a lot of different answers. And that's not a good thing from the standpoint of getting the truth. Ego is a very powerful energy at work in people's lives. And even the traditional speakers on spiritual consciousness, whether it was Buddha, whether it was Jesus or Muhammad, or more recently Eckhart Tolle and Wayne Dyer, each of them in their own way were touching upon ego energy. Now, they didn't have those words 3,000 years ago, 2,000 or 1,300 years ago, but they were still noticing something that was extremely important. But we haven't come that far in our understanding of what it is and what it's not. I think we're, in some respects, in the same place we were all those years ago, and there's been a need to know what it is and what it's not. So the first part of ego medicine is to understand what it's, you know, what ego is. And we talked about it being an energy. We talked about how it's this energy that works through the ego space or the ego mind or the mind. It helps to fashion the thoughts and beliefs and illusions and values and all the things we carry within our egoic mind that ultimately filter into the ego self, which is really the manifestation of our ego energy in terms of our behavior, our feelings, our other thoughts, and even our physiology. So understanding what ego is, and we touched upon it earlier, what it's not, is important. The next part of ego medicine that's also important is the ability to tune into one's own specific ego energy. As Linda and I have been sharing, it's diverse, it's different, and if we talk about it in a generic, abstract thing, we'll never really get to know the energy we are being. It'll affect us, it'll affect our lives, and it can bring us into various forms of suffering, some benign, some more malignant, in our daily efforts, in our mortal efforts to survive. And so the process of tuning into it is important. Having said that, we have to give you, and that's what we've done in our work, in our three books, examples of when we're living healthy egoic energy in those 10 key life areas I mentioned earlier, or when it's becoming unhealthy. And people need lots of examples so they can look at the patterns. They can see, not just from one look, but over time, they manifest these particular characteristics or behaviors that reflect issues involving their ability to experience happiness or to love themselves or to grow their mind and so on. So that's the second part of ego medicine. The third part is making use of ego-related reality-based thinking. And really, this is just understanding the need to work toward truth in what we're thinking and understanding the difference between our beliefs and what is truth. Our brains, as miraculous as they are in what they do for us, the one thing they don't do is make that distinction between what's belief and what is truth. It becomes incumbent upon ourselves to help our ego space and improve the quality of it, growing our mind by being more connected to truth, both humanly and spiritually. And so in our book, we talk about examples of non-reality-based ego-related thinking. An example might be somebody who, if they have low ego flexibility, believe that they own the truth, that they know the truth for everybody, instead of it being something that they just know for themselves. Sometimes when people are locked into a political view or a religious view or an ethnic view, they carry around a lot of faulty beliefs that they think are truth and that they want everybody else to think as they think. Or they think that different thinking is deficient thinking, and that's non-reality-based thinking that they need, if they want to heal, they would have to get in touch with. So the third component to this ego medicine is being willing to see and understand the non-reality-based thinking. If things aren't working right in our life, in those 10 key life areas, it's usually connected to the way we're thinking about things. It doesn't mean we're unintelligent. It doesn't mean we're not a good person. It doesn't mean we're not a well-meaning person. We do have God within our being. It's there. But sometimes we are at such a distance, we are lost in our thinking, and we are caught up in these unhealthy beliefs that are taking us away from God and taking us away from the better version of ourselves. And we can heal if we become more aware and see what we're thinking that we didn't know we were thinking. You know, it's akin to if you take a computer and you download faulty instructions on the computer and it develops a computer virus. It doesn't work. It doesn't think right. It doesn't act right and do what we would ask of it to do. That happens to human beings, too. If we are unfortunate in some respects and we download unhealthy thinking, inaccurate beliefs, and the more removed they are from reality, the more they become problematic in the way we function in those 10 Keyleth areas, things are going to stay the same until we are willing to target the thinking that we're into. Again, intelligence, not a factor. It's just that egoic energy overrules our goodness. It overrules our intelligence. It overrules our well-meaningness. And people become somewhat entrapped in it. And so Linda and I are shining light on that as well as the other two areas. And the more and more light, the one thing that's neat about truth, truth is wonderful. Both human truth and divine truth, it's powerful, it's brilliant, and oftentimes it's incredibly simple. We just have to make the effort to get connected to it. And once we do, as Jesus said in his one, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that is correct. It will do that. It will do it humanly. It will do it spiritually.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, Nick. Oh, I love that. Oh, thank you so much. I love that. Linda, what would you say to us on how does one heal from the spiritual end of things with this?
Well, it's coming to recognize who we are and the magnificence of our being. And one of the big messages that we have that I feel is so important is that we do need to learn to embrace all that we are. So it's coming to understand that this egoic energy does not have to be a negative energy. It is a part of our humanity. It's a part of who we are. And we came here to have this human experience. We came here to be human, which means experiencing all the pleasures and abundance of being a physical human being. And when we come to embrace this part of us, and it doesn't mean that everything's always going to be rainbows and roses. It means looking at all that we are, the dark and the light, because that's how we are as a human being, and embracing it, allowing ourselves to be just as we are, and realizing, yes, this is enough, then we begin the process of healing. And when we begin the process of healing on a human level, it allows us to open more fully to the spirit that we hold within us. You know, it's our soul making that, creating the balance of ego and spirit within us. But first, you know, we must be willing to say, yes, I'm enough. I'm okay. I'm exactly as I need to be. And I think right there is such a big thing for people to come into. And it's, you know, also understanding that, you know, as spiritual beings, we talk about divine order. We talk about, you know, what that means, divine order. And this idea of divine order doesn't mean it's going the way you think it should go. But understanding that when we can let go of control, the way we think we need to control things, then we are allowing divine order to be present. Because sometimes in divine order, there needs to be a little upheaval. There needs to be a little maybe shakeup going on. And that has to do with us coming to see ourselves, to learn about ourselves, and to heal what needs to be healed. So it's being honest with ourselves as well. Being honest with ourselves, looking at ourselves, using the mirrors and the reflections within our lives to see what we need to learn and heal so that we can awaken fully, humanly as well as spiritually.
Oh, I love that. And would you say we can do so many things to help ourselves to awaken spiritually, such as meditation, prayer, yoga, a healthy diet, humor, so many things we can pull into our lives to help us with that.
Exactly. And, you know, we say this is the wisdom of the ages that we have built within ourselves, All of these wonderful tools are available to us. Mm-hmm. And when we utilize them, they really do make a difference. When we use meditation and prayer on a regular basis, it helps to bring the balance within ourselves. It helps to create the harmony within our lives. When we allow ourselves to be assisted by others, you know, by others to assist us on our path, it can bring the healing and the awareness that is necessary. And you know, life is meant to be joyful. Life is meant to be experiencing the pleasures. It's not about pain and suffering. But if we're living through an imbalanced ego, we will experience pain and suffering. Once we bring this energy into balance, we come to know the peace within ourselves, and we come to live a life of joy and abundance. And that helps us to know who we are, to the magnificence of our being.
Oh,
well, one thing I would like to add is one of the things when Linda's referring to the wisdom of the ages, really talking about the fact that even though you and I and everyone else was born within the past 100 years or whatever that would be, our design, the design that is woven into our being, is millions of years old. And it's a wonderful design, humanly and spiritually. What happens is when we walk away from that design, and sometimes we see it in everyday life, people distancing themselves from that healthy, wonderful design that's available to us, we begin to have problems and issues and difficulties in our humanity and in working with our divinity. But as we begin to recognize that we've been given so much to heal with, to work with, to experience what we can experience in our lives, and that we have this wonderful design. That's the oneness in part, because we all have that design. It's been the making over millions of years. It has the brilliance of the divine energy of God within it. It's just that we either forget about it, we distance from it, and our egoic energy walks us away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even you look at modern life, and I don't think modern life is much more sophisticated than maybe what a life that used to maybe with an intuition, you know, a bigger part of how people emphasize. This is not an anti-intellectual view, but it's just an understanding and respect for the importance of intuition and how we work with ourselves and with the energies we are.
Yes, yes. I love that. I love that. And, you know, it's such a beautiful thing to see as people connect with their spiritual self and come into balance, the change in their lives, the manifestation, their vibration raises, their intuition is greater. It's just such a beautiful thing, isn't it, to see? I bet you see that every day with the people you teach and the people you mentor.
We do see that a lot, and it is such a blessing, and we're so grateful to be able to be here, you know, and as everything does vibrate at its own frequency. And when we bring this, our energies, our own energies, when we learn about all the aspects of who we are and bring the balance to experience harmony, we begin to vibrate at a greater, higher frequency. Because when we're living through an imbalanced egoic energy, it's a lower frequency. So as we realize everything has its own vibration, even the egoic energy, you know, and we work with this so that we're deserving. Everybody is worthy and deserving of experiencing the best life they can. That's what we're here to do. That's why we're here having this human experience.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm afraid we are out of time. I could chat with the two of you for hours. Oh,
so could we.
What a beautiful show. I am so grateful. Linda and Nick, this has been fantastic. I'm so grateful to share you with my listeners.
Thank you, Paula V. We enjoyed this time with you, and it was a pleasure. And we'd be happy to do it at any time.
I love it.
Thank you, Paula V.
You're welcome. So welcome. And to my listeners out there, for those of you that also know me as the host of For the Love of Reiki on Voice America, I will also have a show with Nick and Linda on that as well. I look forward to it. And a big thank you to my listeners in the U.S. and around the world. Love, hugs, and blessings. Love, hugs, and blessings to you, Linda and Nick.
And you as well.
And peace and love, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.